So this is a little different from what we've been doing to this point. We had Thanksgiving with our family over this past week, and so we decided to mix it up, put together a few best of. You heard from Field Yates of ESPN, as well as Stu Gatz from ESPN. Now we're going to kind of do some of the stuff as well as Thanksgiving, a little recap on the football we saw this past week, and what to look forward to this week. But we'll start with the food. Ev, you want to just dive into how much you gorged yourself with over this past week?
Yeah, you kind of pace yourself. That's the name of the game. One of the things I've noticed, I saw it hotly debated in the streets. What time do you eat that first meal? I know some traditionalists say around 2 or 3, because maybe family doesn't roll in until a little bit later.
Ours was 2:15, yes.
I'm a big fan of let's get the first wave out of the way as soon as we can, because all that does time, I'm not much of a math guy, but that maximizes the rest of the day that I can eat. So if you can sneak in the first meal at noon, then you're looking at maybe a plate around 2:30, maybe another plate around 5, and then when you go home and you bring the leftovers, that gives you sort of the nightcap, if you will. So I think the earlier the better, but I know, to each their own.
When did you guys eat on Thursday? Because we ate at 2:15. I had breakfast before. We had some Sister Schubert sausage and cinnamon rolls, and then we devoured the entombo that was in front of us at 2:15. What did you guys have? And when did y'all have it?
Yeah, the main course was ribs. Which is, I can get into this, is a different conversation completely.
Like Oklahoma twang? Like, what's that?
Well, my dad, he smokes tons of meat, and that's what he loves to do. And I was going to save this for maybe a little bit later, but I have no idea why. It's just customary that we have to eat dry-ass turkey every year. I don't understand it. What if every 4th of July you had to eat Spam and salami mayonnaise sandwiches, and it was just accepted that, like, hey, yeah, every 4th of July, this is the cuisine, this is what we do.
You've had some really bad experiences with turkey, if that's your just first and only impression.
And the hierarchy of the meats, it's in the bottom. It's the Gardner Minshew of meats, tying it into the NFL a little bit. I just don't understand why. My mom made some pink salad last night. That pink, get that all the way the hell out of here. I'm not getting any of that.
How you're going at your mom to on
well,
this
she
program.
Should know. We
so
had ribs.
What salad?
It's called pink salad. It's got like the cherries.
What
in it.
Is
I don't.
Ew.
I don't know, because I don't eat it. But we.
So you disrespected your own mother and.
Well, everything else she made was delicious. This is the pink salad wasn't for me.
Did you rip her for that?
No.
For making that.
Hopefully she doesn't hear this. But we had ribs and we ate it too. And I showed up. I asked if I should bring anything, and they said no. But I like to keep people on their toes.
But you're telling me you didn't bring something?
Well, I did.
To a gathering.
No, I did. I snuck in.
Color me shocked.
I snuck in a large Casey's pepperoni pizza. As an appetizer, but the problem was that everyone ate it before the meal and it kind of ruined our appetite, even though we said we weren't going to do it. But I'm all for, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, it's the gluttonous nature is the only constant. So if I'm gonna sell out, it's not going to be for turkey and green beans. Okay. It's going to be for the stuff I enjoy. If it was up to me, we'd just have Vietnamese food every year. I don't know if that's necessarily in tune with the spirit of Thanksgiving, but I got no problem with
that. It's an interesting thing. Now, did you wear sweats over to your parents'
It was the
house?
Sweats. It was the big T-shirt. It was the slippers. And I even got uncomfortable on that, which is where you know. I just get tired every year. And it's one of those things, like, I feel like I've done manual labor at around 4 or 5.
As your new roommate, you've seen it at a more, at even more times than not that I tend to take naps. I took about 3 or 4 naps on Thursday based on the food I consumed. And to your point about like wearing sweats or whatever, for whatever reason, my parents have been one of those, hey, you need to dress up for the holidays.
No.
And
oh,
so
no.
I somewhat like dressed up. I wore a flannel or a nice shirt or jeans or shoes, and no one else at the table is dressed. It was the most
You were the only one?
And so, like...
It's like they told you it was a costume party, and you showed up dressed as the Joker.
Let me take that back. My grandmother's always dressed to the nines, because that she's just from a generation than I am, which is perfectly respectable, and she's obviously allowed to do that, but it was funny, because my dad was in pajama pants. You like to give me a hard time about the pajama pants I wear.
Yeah, I do.
Well, he was wearing those because he was cooking all day and stuff, so which I found pretty funny. But the one time I dress up for Thanksgiving, and I say dress up, I was wearing a flannel. Like, it wasn't like over the top or anything. But
just
I was
acceptable business casual.
Yeah, for my term dress up, and whatever reason, no one else did. So
yeah, when you were pajama pants, you looked like Kevin McAllister waking up one Christmas morning. And
good,
Home Alone.
Good. I'm a kid at heart. I'm glad I look like that. So you're going in on turkey. Well, you obviously didn't get an arts deep fried turkey, because ours was fantastic, and you need to try one of those before you go on this ginormous rant.
It's not even
about turkey.
It's not a rant. It's just I don't understand why it's customary to eat turkey. Did Columbus like start a turkey farm when he got to America? I don't understand the relevance. I don't understand how it's related.
This is not a history lesson. I couldn't tell you one rhyme or reason about the history of our nation in terms of why we decided to go with the turkey on Thanksgiving.
You're not much of a history guy.
Depends. It depends on the subject. I think there's certain points in history. Like I like to study World War II in both high school and college, and like there's certain aspects. Why are you laughing at that? Yeah. Is that funny to you?
No. You're a historian. I'm not gonna.
Listen, we're talking sports for a reason, because both you and I tend to gravitate more to that. But when it comes to food, we definitely have our different takes. And you hating on turkey. Turkey is the first really take I've heard as far as that. What's that called? Takequake.
Take quake.
Okay, as far as that goes. But there was some football on Thanksgiving Day, as well as some consumption of a lot of different food. And when we watched, we didn't get a chance to see your Ravens take on the Steelers because there's a COVID outbreak right now. Lamar Jackson is not looking like he's not going to play today, and they might even have to play the game as we're recording this podcast
Funny enough, it just came out. It's tentatively moved to Tuesday.
Okay, tentatively moved to Tuesday. Glad you text that. Glad you let us know that. But that was one of the games that I was really excited to watch on Thanksgiving. We didn't get to see it, so we were kind of given two appetizer games in the Houston Texans on the road at the Detroit Lions, and then the
America's team
versus the Washington. I was going to say the Washington football team at first, and I just completely drew a blank right there. But yeah, the Washington football team taking on the Dallas Cowboys. And to me, neither of those games just like blew me away. Deshaun Watson looked great. He's probably my favorite quarterback in the last decade. And then the Dallas Cowboys coming off a big time win against Minnesota, they put that display on Thanksgiving. Didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Do you think Lions fans just...
And you're welcome to go scorched earth here on the Cowboys if you want to.
Well, we'll get to that. I'll get to McCarthy. Do you think the Lions fans have just PTSD about Thanksgiving? Do you even think they look forward to it? Because I think, like, remember that episode of The Office where every time Jim hits his computer, Dwight wants a mint, and then he does it and he doesn't give him a mint and his mouth gets dry. It's like they're Pavlov's dog. I feel like they're trained to hate Thanksgiving because every single year, it's always at home. I understand it's a cool thing to get up for, and it's a tradition. You have it, you have that, and making your best players retire. So congratulations, Lions fans. But I don't understand why. Like they have to loathe this. They have every around October they have to look in the mirror and say like, "Dang it, we're one month away to inevitably losing," and not just losing but getting embarrassed. And yeah, we know the Texans. They're not really playing for much, right? We've discussed this. They don't have any first round draft picks. They don't have a second round draft pick. They both go to the Dolphins for Laramie Tunsil. They don't have a whole lot to play for. They can't rebuild. What do? You make the best of it, and you don't have an awful roster. Okay, it's not like the cupboard's completely bare. So you go out and you try to win, and they're winning for Romeo Crennel. He's one of those all time interim coach energy guys where the players love playing for him. He's been around since the Noah's Ark, you know, and every time the first coach gets fired, the second guy comes in and the players, I feel like they have a little extra pep, you know, to play for that guy. But it's the Lions, and you could expect that.
They have like one playoff win since.
It's like the Lions and like the Mariners are like the last two teams in professional sports who like they're the last two teams who won a playoff game at something like that, where the stretch goes that far back. But if anything, it gave us a chance to watch Deshaun Watson, and it gave us a chance to look at Matt Patricia with the pencil behind his ear when he doesn't even use a pencil. And it did feel, when you read the tea leaves yesterday and you read some of the reports, it felt like he was playing for his job. And they probably would have fired him after last week, but a game on such short rest, 4 days, it makes it a little bit tougher. It wouldn't shock me at all in the next couple of days here we see that Matt Patricia's been fired, relieved of his duties.
ESPN's Dan Orlovsky, who's now on Get Up and a slew of other ESPN programs, was ripping on Matt Patricia for blaming the culture that Jim Caldwell had. Well, let's look at the facts. Jim Caldwell has a far superior record than Matt Patricia at this point in time.
Jim Caldwell was a legitimately solid coach.
Yes, and Matt Patricia is anything but. He's a good defensive coordinator, or at least was under Bill Belichick and the Patriots, but so far, at this point, you can't really speak to his head coaching acumen, which is something.
The meme where it's like the girl and the boyfriend, and the boyfriend's looking back. The boy is Lions ownership. The girl is Matt Patricia. Looking back, it's Brian Flores. That's the Brady disciple. That's the Belichick disciple that they should have hired.
Based on how the Dolphins are playing this season, based on how, I mean, I don't see them catching the Buffalo Bills because we know the Patriots. I don't know the Patriots. You can't ever count them out, but pretty much you can count them out at this point, right? So yeah. They're pretty, and the Jets are irrelevant because they're 0-10.
Jets may win this week against the Dolphins.
We're coming up to my Survivor pick later in the program.
Let me sneak this
and
in
I'm not
real quick.
The Dolphins for that.
How concerning is it that Joe Flacco just looks better than Sam Darnold? Like, legitimately better. If you blur the faces out and you just watch the two performances, I don't think it's particularly close.
Joe Flacco looked like he doesn't even care, and he still looks like he's better than Sam Darnold. Yeah. That's what's so aggravating to me if I'm a Jets fan. Joe Flacco shows no emotion, whether he throws a pick or a touchdown. It looks like he's just out there to collect a paycheck.
It's the 40-year corporate employee who did his last week, and he's looking at his emails, and he's just got his feet up.
And to your point about like him looking better than Darnold, like there are cases to me made that you're correct. And that's got to suck as a Jets fan, especially when you're teetering on, hey, do we take another quarterback this year? Do we go the Trevor Lawrence route and restart? Do we try? Are they going to do what Arizona did, try and trade away Josh Rosen, which they were able to do? Are they going to try to trade away Sam Darnold for some picks or whatever the case may be
100%
and get Trevor Lawrence?
Darnold can't be a backup. He's not. It doesn't work that way. I know on paper maybe it does, but a guy like him, he's not going to sit behind and develop. He's not going to sit there and groom Trevor Lawrence, who's coming to take his job. So the Jets can mess up everything in front of them, right? No matter what the task is. Now the task is to lose six more and to make sure they get that number one pick. So can they do that?
Because the burden of responsibility
has shifted from being competent, which they're not, and now it shifts to, well, just don't win any of these next six. Because if they lose one, the Jaguars could get number one.
Well, Gase knows his time has come to an end. So if I'm Adam Gase and I'm ticked off at the ownership, which he really shouldn't be, because it's on him. What's happened in his time in New York, his majority has been placed at the feet of him, and it should be. If I'm Adam Gase and I've been told, hey, you need to try and lose, then I'd go out and try and win just because. I would try and beat the Miami Dolphins this week. They're probably not going to be able to, but it would be quite funny if that happened. But rounding out the other game that we watched, and then we'll take it to break. You're welcome to just go. I know you were excited about this as a guy that loves to hate on the Dallas Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb, I will say, dropped the touchdown pass. Not a good look for CD. But
I wanted to call both his phones and tell him you got to hang on to the football.
Yeah, that was not a great look for, you said his full name, Sidarius Lamb?
Sidarian Lamb.
That's what I called him. Not a great look for CD. Dallas Cowboys, two fourth down attempts, one out of special teams on a 4th and 10, the other on a 4th and inches. You try and throw a comeback route to CD. Neither work. Mike McCarthy is in trouble, and I'm not just continuously saying that just to spark flames, but man, it's fun to watch the Cowboys just...
For the record, I don't necessarily dislike Dallas. It's not that I have.
It's okay. You're allowed to say that.
There are teams I dislike. I can't stand the Steelers. But it's not that I dislike Dallas. It's okay to lose in the NFL, right? Contextually, every team has injuries. They have plenty of injuries on both sides of the ball. They lost Zach Martin on Thursday. They don't have their starting quarterback, right? They're playing Andy Dalton. There's a difference between. Be that as it may, what happened on Thursday, it was just completely unacceptable. And it's beyond embarrassing, especially playing yourself at home.
It's the Washington football
team. And you're not playing the 85 Bears or the 07 Pats. You have to, there's a line between, if you lose that game, you never want to lose. That's never acceptable. But it's not a complete indictment on the coaching staff as a whole and the organization as to where it currently is in the landscape of the NFL. That on Thursday was a statement game. That is a game where everyone in that building has to reevaluate, are we even on the right track here? You combine that with the fact that you heard week two, the Cowboys players were complaining they weren't learning anything. How bizarre is that? All these coaches are carbon copies of each other that have all coached underneath, you know, for generations. It's the same curriculum. It's just spewed 32 different ways, right? When you slap 32 different stickers on it, labeling it. What happened on Thursday night was a complete systematic failure, and I think it's telling as to where that team is right now as a whole. And now you get into the hard fact of, like, can you even fire Mike McCarthy? How big's the buyout? No one feels sorry for Jerry Jones having to fork over cash, but I think they signed him to a 5 or 6 year deal, so it's hard to cut bait right now because then you start the process all over again. And the calls he made yesterday, going for it, it was the fourth down on their own 20. Like, what do you do? It's like he hears that the sexy thing to do is to be aggressive, and he just takes it way too far. Like, he can't just be aggressive in the spots where you're supposed to be aggressive. And the fake punt when you're only down 7 points, I mean, you would rather Andy Dalton,
were,
if you're going to go for it, you'd
rather... They were tied 10-10 when they went for the fourth and inches, and it was like 4 or 5 minutes to go in the second.
It's okay to be aggressive. That's good. You see Mike Tomlin just run two-point conversions whenever. You see John Harbaugh goes for it on fourth downs, but you have to pick your spots. Those were just... It was mind-boggling to me that anyone with a conscious spirit could make those calls.
They also have the personnel as well that they can afford sometimes to do that. Dallas doesn't have that without Dak Prescott, and that offensive line just... time and time again, like what is it, like 50% of their starting roster at the beginning of the season's on IR. It's like an insane number when it comes to that roster.
You know how Mike McCarthy looks like he's an out-of-work Elvis impersonator? I thought of a funny one line yesterday.
Okay.
A little less conversation, a little play action, baby. That's as far as I got.
Okay.
Complete letter. I will say, on the fake punt, he did have a guy open.
They did,
but it was a hard. It would have been a hard throw because it would have been 25 on the run
for Cedric Wilson,
for a guy that's not necessarily known for making passes. Yeah. But I don't know where you go here if you're Cowboys fans, because it's dark and it's a gloomy spot you're in, and you know you can just say let's run it back and bring Dak back and run this all back again. But it looks like they have institutional systemic problems.
Unfortunately for Evan, COVID has impacted his Baltimore Ravens. We just got an update recently that game had been moved. It was moved from Thursday night to Sunday at 12 on NBC. Now the game has tentatively been moved to Tuesday night. Evan, just kind of your overall thoughts on how this is impacting your Baltimore Ravens.
I'm not going to COVID shame in the middle of a pandemic, because
it's probably smart.
That's a tough look to just come out and blame people. If you've read the reports, they disciplined a strength and conditioning coach, Steve Saunders,
wearing a mask or whatever.
And I'm sure there will be more reporting on this as it comes out, and I'm sure he will be relieved of his duties at some point, because you just cannot keep someone like that around. But just as a lesson in life, how one mistake like that can impact and can reverberate for Lord knows how long. So Steve Saunders doesn't wear a mask and ignores protocols. And you can't definitively, you know, point to the outbreak and say it was 100% his fault. We're deducting that it is, because you wouldn't discipline someone like that, especially right now, if you weren't rather certain that it had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. But if you want to look at the reverberating effect that could make, so one guy is just an idiot. One guy is just a moron. The most important thing is you gave these players a virus, right? Calais Campbell has asthma. He's got an underlying health issue. He almost opted out. Michael Pierce, that signed with the Vikings, played for the Ravens last year. He opted out because he's got underlying medical issues. That's not something to trifle with in and of itself, because at the end of the day, it's a virus. Now we know what the recovery rate looks like. That's on one side. Secondly here, man, you've derailed the season. I mean, you have completely derailed the season. Lamar Jackson has it. The center he took snaps from has it. Both running backs have it. Defensive tackles have it. It's a full-on outbreak, and I understand the Steelers are upset. Now they lose a second bye week, and now they have to play again on Tuesday. And before we got this report that it had been moved to Tuesday, they just put the competition committee just put in the rule a few weeks ago that if games had to be canceled, you would now make it 1-8 teams. Well, that definitely benefits the Ravens, a team trying to get in the playoffs, and it definitely hurts the Steelers, because if the Ravens snuck in as the 8 seed and can get healthy, you know, now the Steelers, who should have a bye, who otherwise would have had a bye, has to host Baltimore, who'd be playing him for a third time. I understand Pittsburgh's complaint. I'm not in the business here really blaming anyone for this other than Steve Saunders. You can't blame Steve Saunders. And the way this can reverberate one bad decision through the next few years of how, you know, do they leave Baltimore? Are they just how this can work? It's really disheartening, I guess I would say.
It's not a good look from an optics perspective, but it's not just, we can't just blame on one. I mean, there's a variety of people that, stuff has happened so far this season.
You have to fire him though, right? I'm asking you. You have to fire him.
I don't know the specifics like you do, so I'm not going to call for someone's job unless I have the concrete stuff that I've read thoroughly. I mean, I can't advocate for that if I don't have the intel in front of me. If you think he should be let go, that's on you. I don't know.
If they can... confidently deduct that he's the problem, he's why this happened, I would have done it yesterday.
So let's get in some game previews for this upcoming weekend. We'll start with the Raiders and the Falcons. Your thoughts on this football game?
This is a fun game for fantasy football. Both teams are very generous in allowing fantasy points to the other. On the Raiders side here, Derek Carr's a really good start this week. You can really pick anyone against the Atlanta Falcons, and it usually ends up going your way. You start Josh Jacobs every week, Darren Waller I really like, and we thought the deep shot, the deep threat here would have been Henry Ruggs, right? The number 11 overall, number 12 overall pick. Well, it's Nelson Agholor. It's a former first round pick who's found a new home here.
Who used to have bricks for hands.
But every time you watch him, he's got a spark. Like when you watch the guy play, he jumps off the screen. He's scored, he's had some really good games here lately. I don't mind starting Nelson Agholor. On the Falcon side, Matt Ryan's a great play. Todd Gurley, he just keeps falling in the end zone. He just keeps finding the end zone. And against a team who lost tons of yards and points to the running back, I don't dislike starting Todd Gurley. You start Calvin Ridley. Hayden Hurst, with the way tight ends are played right now and how hard it is to really find a guy, especially with guys like Jared Cook now out of the picture with Taysom Hill, Hayden Hurst's a dart throw. And even though he had a goose egg, you can't really hold that against him because that's how tight ends go sometime.
One team that's traveling clear across the country, the Los Angeles Chargers taking on the Buffalo Bills. This is a duel of two great young quarterbacks, one in Josh Allen, one in Justin Herbert. Your thoughts on this one?
Well, I needed to see a little bit more from Herbert here. It's really quite a few disappointing weeks in a row. I'm looking at my buddy in the corner. I told him I would troll him like that. So Justin Herbert's on record for the best statistical season from a rookie quarterback ever. 4,500 yards, 39 touchdowns.
I was unaware of that.
That's pretty dang impressive.
Too. I mean, this is his rookie of the year. He would have to have a disastrous end.
Oh, not the Burrows. Yeah, it's his.
And it's clearly his.
Justin Herbert, yes. Keenan Allen, yes. You don't need anyone to tell you to do that. Kalen Ballage here, getting the targets last week, getting the carries last week. Right now, before Austin Ekeler comes back, I don't think Ekeler will be on the field this week. I probably think they give him one more week to heal up before they get him back out there. Kalen Ballage is a nice play. Hunter Henry. We know Hunter Henry.
Pearl Hog.
Arrow up. He's getting looks now in the end zone from Justin Herbert. That's something that did not happen initially. Last couple weeks, that's looked like that's coming to fruition. So Hunter Henry, arrow up. I like Hunter Henry. If you want to start Mike Williams, you just need the one big play. And Herbert has proven that he can provide that. So if you want to start Mike Williams, I'm not going to hold that against you. On the Bill side, Josh Allen, yes. Zach Moss, maybe. I'd probably look other ways, but you know, in a running back climate right now where you're looking at guys like Frank Gore and Latavius Murray, Zach Moss, he seems to be the favorite of the two between him and Devin Singletary. Yes, Stephon Diggs. Cole Beasley, watch John Brown's status.
Last game we want to talk about before we get into the fantasy football mailbag, the Cleveland Browns against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I don't think Jake Luton's going to have a future in the NFL. He tried his best. He needs to keep the jerseys and
very
all
short
the,
and sweet. Okay.
Facts. We have Mike Glennon for this game, and DJ Shark has been ruled out. So it's not that you really want to start a ton of Jags all the time, but you do need to keep that in mind. So James Robinson, yes. DJ Shark out. If you want to take a dart throw at either Keelan Cole or Laviska Shenault, who should be back, we know Denzel Ward's out and Myles Garrett's out. You can expect the Jags to get to 17 points one way or the other. It just depends if you want to throw the dart at one of those guys you think is going to get it done. On the Browns side, man, I will say I'm sure Baker Mayfield, he's got to be excited here about not playing in a monsoon for the first time in what feels like a month. Not that he's been extremely impressive anyway, but I feel like every time he goes out there, he's having to play in the ocean. Hunt and Chubb, yes. I don't necessarily love playing any wide receivers here for the Browns. If you wanted to play Jarvis Landry in a full-point PPR, possibly, but just like with the Baltimore Ravens, there's not a large pie of air yards. And could it be Hodge? Could it be Hollywood Higgins, which we needed to go back and redact that nickname from Hollywood Higgins? You can't be Rashard Higgins and have the Hollywood in your name. I do like Austin Hooper, though. They like their tight ends. Baker Mayfield likes his tight end. I think, fun fact, I think Austin Hooper lived with Baker Mayfield in the offseason in Austin.
I feel like we read that.
Did we say that before?
I feel like that's right.
There we go. That's it.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time. The mail's here.
Now it's time to go to the fantasy football mailbag.
All right, who do we got this week in the fantasy football mailbag? And by the way, you can always email us, fantasyfootball@hitthatline.com. That's fantasyfootball@hitthatline.com.
We have Dean from Pocahontas. Dean writes in, outside of injuries, who's been the biggest bust of the year?
Biggest bust of the year.
And you could take that one of two ways, because
I go to my lineup, because it's probably someone on my roster.
I think the consensus answer would probably be Lamar Jackson, but I'm actually going to say Michael Thomas for a combination of
Joe Mixon. Can I say Joe Mixon?
Well, he's hurt, though. I mean, that's just saying, if he's hurt, and I know that Michael Thomas was hurt, too, but even the games Michael Thomas has played here, I mean, you took him in any first round, and he was, you know, unless you were in an auction and paid up for like McCaffrey.
But he's been hurt, and now he's having to deal with the backup quarterback. And is Taysom Hill really a backup quarterback?
He also punched a cornerback. So I'm holding that against him a little bit.
Okay.
The unfortunate answer is probably Lamar Jackson. I don't really know
that's
how.
The first answer you.
Well, I mean, Juju Smith's been about. I mean, yeah. James Conner hasn't been what you thought he would.
Yeah.
There's been several guys. It's difference between a bust and if you're hurt or not.
All right, last question I want to ask you. You mentioned the Dolphins and Jets earlier. Now, I am staying away from the Dolphins this week. There's going to be a lot of people in our Survivor League that go with the Dolphins over the Jets. Here's who I'm looking at this week. I'm looking at the possibility of the Seahawks over the Eagles, the Rams over the 49ers, and Evan, unfortunately, I'm thinking about taking the Steelers over
the
Ravens.
You're not going to hurt my feelings. I don't blame you. Are you asking who I would pick amongst those three?
I'm scared to pick against the Beagles first game. Brandon Allen, I'm scared to pick against the Razorback.
That's bad juju.
I think that screams bad juju.
The Los Angeles Rams right now, it's a story that no one's really... That's a complete football team. And they have a...
They lost to the 49ers earlier this year.
They have The way they played the last month, they have a stifling defense, and they have an identity, and to me, they're just worlds better than they... And they're playing at home against a pretty roughed up 49ers team, but I'll tell you what I tell you every week. I want you to make your own decision. Well, I want you to make your own decision, because I don't want to be responsible for...
Losing out on
losing
the prize.
For you. Yeah,
that's very fair.
I get enough stuff blamed on me, so I don't need that as well.
That's going to do it for another edition of Fantasy Football Sunday. Again, you can always interact with us on the show, fantasyfootball@hitthatline.com. For Evan Gentry, I'm Ty Richardson. Don't spend the rest of the day sitting on your hands. Go set your lineup. Go get a dub.